Amen. Well, my name is Adam Reed, and I am one of the pastors here on staff, and normally I'm the guy behind the guitar. One of my roles as an associate pastor is I lead the worship every Sunday, but I got the privilege of sharing, so thanks, even if you didn't know it, thanks for putting up with me tonight. I especially want to take the moment, though, this is the first time in the 2.5 year existence of Antioch Tempe that I was on that side of worship. Since we've started, and I just want to thank the band. So if we can just do a quick little thank you to the band. These guys serve every week sacrificially. They get here at 2 o'clock, sometimes 1:30, and they stay till 8 after everybody's gone, and we put it up, we tear down, and they are incredible. And then they do this for the college ministry as well, and I could not do it alone, and I'm just so thankful for these folks that serve so faithfully. But yeah, so it is so good to be here. I love the holidays. I love Christmas time. I look forward to it every year. This year, I was in Indiana, and if you're anything like me and my family, it's a weird smattering of complete chaos of trying to run to each place and get everything done and see every person, as well as like this like overindulged laziness where like I simultaneously like lay on a couch and like stuff myself. That's usually what, some weird mixture of that is what my Christmas looks like. But this year specifically, it was really nostalgic. My mom and dad are going to be moving to the Tempe area, to the Phoenix Valley, and I'm super excited. They are godly man and woman, and they're wonderful parents, and we're excited to have them. But the weird thing for Shelly and I was my childhood home is now going to be sold, and my parents are uprooting and moving here. So it was really nostalgic. Doing like the goodbyes of the house and the goodbyes of like my favorite restaurants and I don't know, like the weird stuff of what is Madison, Indiana, where I'm from. It's a really small rural town, but it's my hometown, and so it was just a really nostalgic time. And but there was something really neat about the reflecting. We even had a night as a family where we kind of sat in the living room and started telling each other our favorite memories, and it was like emotional, like everybody was crying, and it was something really sweet. And my dad said something to the effect of, I'm not grieving because of the future, I'm weeping because the past was so good. And there's a sense of thankfulness for what God has done in the past, but recognizing that there's something ahead. And so he was thankful for the past, and then he was hopeful towards the future. And it was just this, you know, really nostalgic experience. And then, you know, to think how they have Christmas, and then a week later you have New Year's, and I don't know if you're anything like me, but New Year's is always nostalgic. There's something about, like, I always have these two thoughts. The first thought is this: wow, another year has come and now gone. Every year it seems like it gets quicker, and you can't believe it's going to be 2014 just around the corner. But then it usually is followed up with the next thought of, wow, I did not do a single thing on my New Year's resolution. Like, I didn't follow through with one single thing. I am so bad. Usually I don't even create them, to be really vulnerable with you. I don't even do them because I know how poor I am with the follow through. I won't do it. And this year I actually kind of felt convicted. Like, why not use it as an opportunity to set goals for the future? Why not use it as something to plan ahead? And, you know, I started thinking about this, and I was like, you know, I bet Jesus was really, really good at keeping his New Year's resolution. Like, you know, I bet like he never like missed, like, you know, if we're trying to be like Jesus, we love, if you don't know this, at Antioch, we love Jesus, and we want to be just like him. And so I'm thinking, well, I bet Jesus did him, and I bet he was, and could you imagine what his list was? You know, it's like, you know, love Mama Mary a little better, even though he loves perfectly, so I don't know how he could do that, but he probably was on his list, you know, and he's like, I'm going to walk on water this year. I'm going to raise some people from the dead, redeem the world, you know, no big deal. It made me, like, I was sitting there thinking and, like, praying over this. I was like, man, mine's weak. It's like, lose a little belly fat, you know, learn how to spell. You know, just a couple of different things that, like, I really struggle with, and people will vouch for that. I'm a horrible speller, you know. And I'm like, wow, thank you, on a serious note, but thank you, God, that you're a God that follows through. Thank you that when you create a plan or have a goal or know your calling, that when Jesus came to the earth, we just got done celebrating Christmas. We got done just celebrating the coming of Christ. But that's the beginning, friends. Like, the climax is the fact that he took all of our sin on the cross, died and rose again so that we have newness of life. Our God is a God that follows through with his calling. He doesn't stop short. Could you imagine what would happen if Jesus didn't go to the cross? The despair, the hopelessness, the discouragement that we would have. It can't be fathomed. It'd be horrific. But Jesus follows through with what he's doing. And I am so thankful that he follows through. But see, Jesus didn't come as only God and save the world, but he came as fully man. And he modeled for us what it looks like to be in right relationship as man with the Father. So we can look at God or look at Jesus and say, wow, you're God, you saved us. But we can also look at him and say, wow, I want to imitate my life after you. Because as fully man, you modeled for me what holiness and faithfulness and righteousness and purity and following through really looks like. And I know that it can be discouraging when you overlook like the goals that you've had in life and you realize the failed attempt of dreams. When you think back and how you had this ambition or that ambition or this feeling from God and you never followed through. And I'm not here to discourage you with that at all. But what I want to do tonight, and what I believe God wants to speak, is a thing of maturity and deepening. And it comes with being faithful. It comes with a people of God, starting with an individual, but then making up as a whole church. And then the big church, all of people, God's people. What does it look like if we begin to practice the follow through? What does it look like if we hear the Lord on something and then we obey him all the way through it to completion? Could you imagine the impact we would have on our world? Could you imagine the fruitfulness from your own life? Could you imagine never regretting a single thing again? Again, ever. You can walk with complete freedom. The weight of the world, or the weight of disappointment, the weight of failure is never on you again. Because you practice the art of the follow-through. And I really believe that God wants that for you. Do you know that God has dreams on his heart for you that he wants you to live out? He has things so significant, so big that it's not even in your mind yet. You haven't been even begin to tiptoe in the territory that he's talking about. Because the territory he's talking about is mind-blowing. It is God's size. Do you know that God loves you and has big dreams for you? He wants you to be like a Peter, where you walk on a substance you have no business being on. You know, Peter in the Bible was one of the disciples, and he was in a boat, and he sees Jesus off in the distance walking on water. And then instead of freaking out and saying, "This, I'm losing my mind," he says, "If you are Lord, call me to you." And he keeps his gaze set on Jesus, and he has the courage to step out of the boat. And he begins walking on a substance he has no business being on. But then it does say, though, that Peter noticed the wind, and then he noticed the waves, and then he began to sink. And as he sank, all of a sudden, he looked up again to Jesus and cried out to Jesus, and Jesus grabbed his hand and pulled him back up. God wants you to step into dreams that are so big that it will make you feel I'm inadequate, like I'm stepping on a substance I should not be on. That's how big your dream should be for each one of us. This isn't a message for the few super Christian elite or whatever mentality comparison thing. We break off comparison in the name of Jesus. We don't do that. For each one of us, though, we have a calling and a purpose that is God-sized, that is so big that the dream, in contrast to your ability, makes you feel small and makes God seem big. Makes you say, I can't, but makes you say, God, you can. And that's what God wants to pull you into. He wants you to dream these big-sized dreams. He wants you to be a Peter, and he wants you to step into territory unknown because it's so big, it's God's size. And you might say, you know, Adam, that sounds nice. Thanks for the pep talk. First of all, I'm not saying be a better version of yourself. Because that is a very small and lame goal. I'm saying be Jesus. Because Jesus modeled for us what it looks like to be in right standing with God the Father. So therefore, don't try to just be a better version of yourself. Isn't it some puff yourself up, be a better view book version? This is saying learn how to walk as Jesus walked. Learn how to live as Jesus lived. Learn how to talk like Jesus talked. Learn how to love like Jesus loved. Be a learner of all things Jesus. And add that, have faith to step out into unknown territory. As God speaks things to you, have the courage to step out. And so as I challenge you to that, and you might say that sounds nice, but practically how do we get there? My point tonight is pretty much one point. It's very simple. It's learning to be faithful in the little things. If you were to write this down, that's what I want you to write down. Be faithful in the little things. Everybody wants a testimony. Everybody wants a position. Everybody wants to be in the light of greatness. You know that God put in each man and woman the desire to be great? That is not sinful in its purest form. God has spoken that in your creation, in the fibers of your being, a longing to be great. And the reason why is because he wants to put that in you that would stir a courage to trust him and to step out in unknown territory. That you would, oh God, I long to be great, but he says, be great, but be great for my glory. And you know what? Not only am I saying be great for my glory, but let me help you be great for my glory. The Bible teaches that it says, I wrote it down so I wouldn't mess it up. The Bible teaches, somewhere in my notes, for the eyes of the Lord look to and fro across the earth, looking to fully support those who are wholly his. That verse is like a verse for my life. You know, some people have life verses or something that they kind of cling to. I cling to that. Because what that tells me is that God wants to get behind me. I'm not in opposition to God if my heart is fully his, if I'm after all the things that he is after. But God is inviting us to get there by being faithful in the little things. And this might make you feel insecure and you're like, "How? I don't understand." Well, 99% of the world is feeling the insecurity you're feeling. I'm not strong enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not on and on and on. And the other 1% is lying. Like, everybody feels that. That's just the reality of it. But that's a good tension to live in. Hear me, friends. This isn't a bad thing. It's a good tension. Because what the tension is saying, God, I know you're raising the standard for my life. I know you're calling me higher. But how do I get there? I'm incapable. That's a good tension, because what that should make you do is get on your knees before the Lord and say, but you can. You can. So God, I'm going to practice being faithful in the little things. And as I continue to be a yes man or a yes woman of God, then you're going to increase the anointing, the blessing, the calling, the responsibilities, and I will see the dreams of my heart fulfilled. But it's being a yes man or a yes woman. So when God says, hey, I want you to do this, will you join me in this? And you say, yes. And you learn to trust him to where there's not this like, well, I think so, and there's this hesitation, but you start to see his faithfulness in your own life, because God is always faithful, even when we're not. He's perfectly faithful. He never comes up short. Look at his track record. He never comes up short. So as we model Jesus in that way, let's start being faithful, even in the little things. Six weeks ago, we had Jimmy Seibert speak, for those who are here and for those who aren't. Jimmy Seibert is the president of Antioch Ministries International, which is the church planting organization that our local church is a part of. We're part of a bigger organization of church planters around the world. And we had Jimmy come and speak. And Jimmy actually tells a story often of a time when he was in his 20s. And he tells a story about how his church had a guest missionary come in town. And so Jimmy volunteered to have this missionary stay at his house. And this Pakistani missionary was there. And he basically just said, sir, can I follow you around and do whatever you do? And he was like, what? And he's like, no, like, when you get up, I want to get up. When you go to bed, I want to go to bed. If you go talk to somebody, can I be a shadow on the wall? Can I follow you? And he was like, absolutely. So every morning for 4 days, he was there 4 days, every morning Jimmy got up and spent time with the Lord with him, and then they went and had some meetings, and then they did lunch and dinner together and everything else. And then at the last day, this Pakistani man sat Jimmy down and started praying over him, and he began to prophesy over his life. And he said, Jimmy, he says, God has a huge calling for your life. He said, there's going to be significant things that you're going to be able to walk out in. You're going to see the kingdom of God move in powerful ways with how you serve him. It's the same message I'm trying my best to communicate to each one of you. That God has a huge plan for your life. That he loves you and he desires for you to walk in greatness in him. So Jimmy, as a response, got excited and was like, all right, let's do this. Where do I begin? You know, just sign me up. So he's thinking of all the things he's going to have to do and check off to be able to operate in this greatness. And the man says, it's simple. He said, go make your bed. He said, excuse me? He said, go make your bed. He said, I don't understand. And this is what his response I even wrote down. You will not achieve much if you are not faithful in the little. Go make your bed. And Jimmy says he's made his bed every day since. And Jimmy's walked out in greatness because he was willing to plow and work hard and be diligent and faithful in the very little things. So my challenge to us as a body of Christ that has a huge calling on us as individuals and as a people that wants to claim this valley, that wants to claim this state, this nation, and the nations of the earth. That's the dream of our church, if you do not know this. We want to ransom back all people from all nations back to God. And we're going to do it through a church planting movement. So raising people up, them finding their identity in Jesus, growing in maturity and depth and faithfulness, and then we send them across the whole world to tell people who do not know about Jesus. And if we're going to do that, it starts because we're willing to be faithful in the very littlest of things. It's a challenge, right? Because it's easy to dream about, oh, how I'll do the big things. Of course, that's a big deal. I'll be faithful to that. I'll get it done. But when I say make your bed, you're like, oh gosh, I'm convicted. I bet my bed is not made right now. Is it, honey? No, it's not made. Yeah, so my bed's not, so I'm convicted saying this, right? But do you understand what I'm trying to communicate? The bed is here nor there. It's the hard attitude of following through. It's the hard attitude of willing to walk out. And I'm talking way more than just behavior modification, because that is not godliness. Doing the right thing but being dead on the inside does not look like Jesus. So we can look like a church and we can behave like a church and we can have all the form that looks right, but if our insides aren't broken and contrite and needy of God and in love with Jesus, then we're missing the boat. We're missing it. And we see this in Scripture. We do know that there should be external fruit, right? The book of James is really clear in the Bible about how there should be fruit with how we live our lives. But we also know that that fruit starts with the inside. And we see this in the life of David all the time. So David was a shepherd boy, and he was the son of Jesse, and he had a bunch of different brothers and everything, but he was some reason kind of outcast. It doesn't really go into detail why. But while all his other brothers, and there were six other ones, were in the house having more important responsibilities around the house, David was always a shepherd boy sent out to watch the sheep, which was a pretty insignificant job. So he was kind of overlooked out in the back, you know. But what did David do while he was out there? He took great care of the sheep. It might seem like an insignificant role. It might seem little in the grand scheme of what your dreams and hopes are. But God sometimes uses these small, insignificant in your mind's eye roles as a training ground for your heart to handle the large responsibilities that he has in front of you. We so quickly want to bypass the training ground of God and jump right into the big stuff. But see, it's the mercy of God that he doesn't give us the big stuff right away, because we would crush underneath the weight of it. Because what carries the calling on our life isn't talent. I don't care, and God doesn't care how talented you are. It's your character and your neediness of God. When your character starts to absorb the things of Jesus and you start to become like Jesus and your heart softens and begins to love like Jesus, and when you are faithful like Jesus, then you are preparing yourself for greatness. And David understood this, because David was all of a sudden called in because Samuel the prophet showed up at Jesse's house, which is David's dad's house, and he said, "Bring me your sons. God's called me to find the next anointed king of Israel." And he lists all his sons out in front of him except for David, and Samuel's looking at him, and the father, Jesse, continually tries to promote the oldest son because he's big in stature and he's handsome, and he appears very good. He appears ideal for the role. But, you know, Samuel's like, no. And he keeps going, and he keeps trying to find. And finally, the dad again is like, you know, look at my son. And Jesse gets rebuked by Samuel. And he says, "Listen, Jesse, God does not look at the external, but he looks at the heart. Do you have another son?" And he says, "Oh, yeah. I got one out in the field." And as he calls in David, David is off in the distance, and Samuel already gets it. And he says, "Look, behold the anointed king of Israel." And it was already prophesied over his life that he was going to walk in greatness. But what God could see in the reason why was not because of the externals, because this was when David was a boy. There wasn't a large stature to him. He didn't have it all together. He wasn't super intelligent or capable of anything. But his heart was already on the path of being broken and contrite and dependent and in love with the Lord. I think about that verse where it says, you know, And Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I bet David really understood that, because there was probably times when he was very lonely out in that field, because he wasn't in a position to be around a lot of people. And it talks about, if you ever read the book of Psalms, it's all these conversations that David has with the Father. And it's intimate and it's personal. He understood the Lord. He knew the Lord. And it's in that training ground of knowing God in the quiet places that God was preparing him for greatness and to be able to walk out the calling on his life. God wants you to operate and walk out the calling on your life. He's actually inviting you and begging you. And going back to that verse of the eyes of the Lord looking across the earth, he's longing to fully support you. That's what that verse says. He's looking to fully support those whose hearts are fully his. You know, it says about David in the New Testament that he fulfilled all things that were called to him within his generation. That is a prayer that I pray all the time for myself. God, may I not miss one second of the calling on my life. But God, will it be said by you, not even by men, but by you, that when I'm dead, that I lived out and fulfilled all the things that I was called to within my generation, within my life. God, I long for that. Teach me what it looks like. And then the Lord quickly quickens my heart and brings me back. Okay, Adam, love God, love people, and be faithful in the little. And the things that seem in the place of obscurity, when no one notices, when you think, oh, it doesn't really matter. God does not approve of two-faced attitudes towards him or towards others. Be wholly his is what he's inviting you to. Be wholly mine is what he longs for. And my challenge is that it starts today. You don't have to look for the next challenge. Okay, bring me the next obstacle that I need a challenge and be faithful in. But it's even in the little things. We teach in this church that you pray. And we teach in this church that you read your Bible and that you spend time with God and that you worship and that you serve in some capacity to bless people. And we teach these things not because we're religious. I'm not some religious zealot up here trying to push rules and laws on you. But these are training tools to soften your heart and create in you a heart and a life that looks like Jesus. And these are the tools that God gives us that actually makes our heart come alive. Sometimes we look at them with disgust or frustration and we push them away and we get all mad at God, like, I don't want to do that, it's no fun. And there's times when the Bible's not as like, oh, it's like jumping off the page, right? But the Bible tells me who God is. And I want to be like God, so I read the Bible because I want to know who God is. And I guarantee you, if you are faithful to it, it comes alive. It is a living word, is what the Bible says, and it's true. It is living and active, and it transforms you when you get into it. So I want to challenge you, church, let's be faithful in the little things. Let's practice our follow through. Let's not start things and then pull back. The follow through is so important. You know, in sports, like in basketball or baseball or golf, things where you have a motion that you have to go through when you rather shoot a ball or swing through a ball, the follow-through is just as important as any other part of the technique. Even in basketball, after the ball technically leaves your hand, they teach you to arc your wrist and point your fingers towards the goal. You arc your wrist and you point it towards the goal. You want to finish strong. When I think about my life, another prayer that I pray often is, God, may I be the 85, 90, whatever, how old I make it. May I be the man on the front porch holding my wife's hand, saying, God, I was faithful to you. I was faithful to my family. I was faithful to any ministry or people you call me to. I was faithful to everything you ever put before me. I long for that to be on my lips. That is a good follow through. That's finishing strong. And God wants to invite us to be people that don't just get by, but live out the dreams on his heart for our lives, which is what makes our heart come alive, and that we follow through strong, that there's no regret at the end of the day. Let's practice the art of the follow through. Let our yes be yes and our no's be no. So if God says, will you do this, say yes and follow through. Be able to commit to things. When we moved out here, One of the things that we noticed about the culture, and I love living here. I will defend this place. I don't like when people talk bad about my home. I love the valley, so hear me clearly. But one of the things that was that I observed was this culture that did not like commitment. And not to use super religious language, but it was almost like an adulterous spirit where people would go after one thing, but as soon as something new or more pretty or shiny came along, they quickly abandoned what they committed to earlier and they jumped to the next new thing. And they kept jumping to the next new thing and the new thing. And we can do that in our personal lives, in our family, in our careers, and we can do it with the Lord. Where we can be flaky towards God and towards the things he's called us to. And I want to challenge against that today. And I want to say, people, let's rise to the occasion of greatness that God's put within you by working on the follow through and fully going all the way with the Lord. All the way. Let's not be flaky and jump to the next new thing. If God invites you to be committed to something, be fully committed to it. Finish it to its completion until God releases you from it to go into something new. Even when it's difficult, even when it's hard relationally or emotionally or you're tired, it requires sacrifice. I implore you to stay committed to it. Because there's going to be times when the things that God's called you to are difficult. But that is the mercy of God, because this is what he's doing. He's teaching you a perseverance. And that perseverance works out your faith, that you be more like Jesus. And when you work out your faith in that way, what it does is it makes you entrusted more by God. Don't you long to be a man that God could trust you with anything? That he could trust you with anything. Conquer a nation, whatever it looks like. He trusts you. I long for God to trust me. But he cannot trust me with the big things if I'm not faithful in the little things. And when it's hard and it's difficult, what he's doing is he's working out my character. He's working out the issues in me, not the situation I'm in. Long before he's trying to fix everybody else around me, he's dealing with my own heart. And he's saying, I'm building in you, Adam, a heart that loves and is steadfast for me so that I can trust you with more. So don't be quick to push away the challenge. Be quick to say, God, how do I respond in faithfulness? How do I respond in a way that makes me love you and makes me want to get in your boat, that I can step out into a substance I should not be on? May I live out God-sized dreams in you. It's an invitation. There's a man named Count Zinzendorf, and he was a rich lawyer, and he was actually to inherit a whole lot of money from his family, but instead, one day he was at church, and there was a statue of Jesus, and he was kind of bending over. It was a large statue that he kind of felt small in front of, and he was bending over like this, and it was showing the wounds on his hands and his feet and his side, and there was a plaque that was on it, and it said, I did all this for you. What will you do for me? And in that moment, Count Zinzendorf gave his life to Jesus. And he ended up going and getting all his wealth and giving it away to the poor. And he went into this movement called the Moravian Movement. And the Moravian Movement turned out to be a great movement, but when he got into it, it was very small and it was very difficult. And the idea was this: what if we created a community, a church, a people that was God's people, and we lived out holistic lives where we did everything in the light of God? Where we loved God, we loved people, we worked hard, we were faithful, we were compassionate, we were sacrificial in the way that we gave to one another. And he's like, oh, wouldn't that be amazing? It'd be the most life-giving community ever. Well, we fast forward 5 years down the road after he gave his life and gave everything away, and it said he was surrounded by misfits and discontent complainers. And he starts questioning himself, and he starts questioning God. Did I miss it? This is hard. What are you doing? But then he thought about what he was called to. And it says about Count Zinzendorf that he remained faithful, even to the little things. And he says, we're going to press in a prayer movement. And they begin to pray. And what happens is God's presence shows up and overwhelms the people. And it spurs on what is the Moravian Movement, which was the most influential church planning movement in its generation within like 150 years. And it was a small community, about 300 people is what it started off with. That's the size of our church. Actually, our church is probably just a little bit smaller. But it was just a people that just said, God, we're gonna press in, even in the challenge. I want to learn to be faithful in the little things. And that's the invitation to us tonight. As you look to 2014, and you start thinking about your New Year's resolution and the goals that you have, I actually challenge you to create goals. But I challenge you to do it in the light of God. God, what do you have for me? What are the dreams on your heart for this year? Will you speak to me? Will you tell me where you want me to grow in? Where you want me to serve in? Where you want me to be more like Jesus in? Where do I need to mature and grow? And allow God to speak into it. And then when you get it, write it down. It makes it more real when you write it down. You can kind of forget about it if you just say it. But write it down and come back to it and pray it in and seek the Lord's face on how to practically go about it. But this is where it starts. You love God, you love people, and you're faithful in the little things. You're willing to make your bed even when no one else goes in your bedroom. It's worth it. So I'm going to pray and I'm going to invite you to stand. And I just want to have a moment of responding to this. And I want the response to be simple. First, what has God already spoken? Looking back, before we look to 2014, looking back, has God spoken something to you? Has he invited you into something that you can honestly, I have not been faithful in that? God was entrusting me with something that I dropped the ball in. First thing, there is so much grace for you. His love has not changed. He can't love you anymore because he can't love you any less. He's loved you to the fullness. And he does however your performance, because he's not performance oriented, but he is heart oriented. And he's asking you, is your heart fully his? Can he trust you with anything? So our first response is, God, what have you already spoken and where do I need to go and be faithful and respond to it? And then the second thing is, I want to challenge you and dare you to dream. God-sized dreams, where you are walking on substance you don't belong. Don't aim low, but raise the standard and aim for something. You aim at nothing, you hit it every time, right? My prayer for you is that the year of 2014 will be the most fruitful, most abundant, most life-giving year of your entire life to date. That'll be a year of no regrets. It'll be a year of God's presence. It'll be a year of advancement in your own personal life, even outside of what you consider religious, because God should be in all things, in the way that you do schoolwork, in the way that you do work at your job, in the way that your family dynamics work, in the way that your friendships are. In the places where you feel hopeless, I speak right now hope in the name of Jesus. So God, I pray right now, will you come and speak to our hearts? Will you give us the grace for the past where we've fallen short, and will you give us clarity on what steps to take in moving forward? But God, will you give us dreams for the future? May you stir our affections for you in ways that surprise us. And may they be God-sized dreams where our natural response is, God, I can't. But then we quickly return to, but God, you can. And may dependence on you grow in our hearts right now. God, what will the year 2014 look like for us as a people? God, I pray that it would look like the greatest advancement in reaching our city in history. I pray that it be the most restored families ever in history. I pray it would be heart softening, that discipline that, though uncomfortable at times, be worked in, that would cultivate within us a heart and a life that looks like Jesus. Lord, we invite you to come now, move in power and shape our hearts, and may we respond to you now in Jesus' name. Amen.